Okay. So we are recording. Welcome to Cahoots.
Woo hoo.
I'm Welcome. Ben Collins.
Kate Devaney.
And we're your hosts here.
On this week 14?
I think this is episode 14. And this, you know, in case you're just now joining us, this is a podcast where Kate and I happen upon or think of or randomly select kind of titles for imaginary movies that we don't really know what they're about. And then we like
figure it out.
Yeah. You know, we riff until we come up with what a movie could be based on that title. So that's what we're doing today. We got a couple things we think we're going to do.
Yeah.
And
starting with another suggestion.
Yeah. A suggestion from a fan and friend. My friend Colin Moriarty, who is a long, you know, he's been listening from the beginning and enjoys the show. And so much so that the other day, the last episode we posted, he somehow missed the notification on his phone and texted me. And when I tweeted about it, and he texted me and was like, oh, shit, I didn't realize that there was a new Cahoots, or I think this is how it happened. But I was like, oh, yeah, he's like, you know, good, because I really needed my nasty little fix. And he did it in all caps, which I think was just for like humor effect. Like in the text message, like he was like going on his way to work or something like that. I was excited to listen to it, and you know, a nasty little fix. And it, and I was
man,
like,
oh
well,
man,
might as well try that one on the show. And he was, you know, laughed about like, I mean, look, Colin, I don't know if you were intending to kind of like incept that into my mind or if you actually unintentionally gave me the idea, but either way, I was like, yeah, we should, that's nasty little fix. That's probably something. And I told Kate and she said, yeah, let's try it. So, I don't know.
Like, what was the super, because, you know, everyone knows, like, well, my understanding of the dance world is that Janet Jackson, of all these like awesome lady pop,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the Britney Spears dance moves and everything,
mm-hmm.
that all came from Janet Jackson. Rhythm Nation dance tour was like,
that makes sense.
I mean, I'm sure there's like, you could point to different examples before that, but
sure.
like the core, remember that Rhythm Nation, oh my God, Rhythm Nation,
uh-huh.
Music video with all the women.
I do vaguely, but I remember more of the other Janet Jackson videos from later when she had the robot dog and then like the Scream video stuff. Yeah.
Well, no, but so, All I was thinking was the when you said nasty little fix,
uh-huh.
like the first time you said it,
mm-hmm.
I just thought nasty, nasty boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
then I just thought that could be the nasty little fix tour.
Mm. It does actually kind of sound like a pop star tour. It sounds like, yeah, like Lady Gaga would have that as her, like, yeah, like something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Blonde Ambition was Madonna's tour.
Yeah.
Like
nasty
that.
Little fix. So it could be. So it could be kind of like, I mean, it's weird. There was like a weird onslaught of like female pop star / female rock star movies that were all sort of festival favorites from like a year or two ago. That there was Vox Lux with Natalie Portman, where she's sort of like a Britney Spears character. And then there was what's her name from Mad Men that was in this movie called Her Smell, where she's sort of like a punk singer. And then there was like an Elle Fanning one where she was like some kind of like pop star or rock star. And I of those, I only saw Vox Lux, and it was, that's a whole other conversation. But like when you put it that way, where it sort of is like, well, what if it was a movie about a female pop star going on a tour called, you know, that's where the title comes from in mm-hmm. the thing. And so if it was like,
also, by the way, okay, so yes, you could have, and I don't know the tone of those three movies that you just,
I think they're probably all
out.
Fairly different, but also, yeah. you know, they're indie movies where it's, I don't know what it, yeah, psychological.
Because you could, I mean, the term nasty little fix, like, there's a version of this movie that's, I mean, I don't know any version actually other than this, but it's just like, kind of like, just like a super dark portrayal of the music industry that's like super dark. And she's like just turned 18. And they're like, great,
oh,
nasty
sure.
little fix. You know, it's
oh.
like she's been around for a couple years.
What is
years.
Like a Britney Spears thing
yeah.
then? Like,
except it's like the dark...
Yeah, it's the
real,
darkest version of
like,
that, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, she's been around for 2 years, she's been touring, she's been doing her pop
mm-hmm.
thing, but she turns 18 in July, so mm-hmm. we're going on the nasty little fix tour, and like...
Oh, God.
And by the way, like, when I used to model, you uh-huh. would see this with models, and if you even look at... I remember when, you know, Carly Kloss is a really
mm-hmm.
big like well-known fan. She's doing, she took over for her Heidi Klum on the what's that run, what, Project Runway.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And she's, I mean, she's like very, she's a Victoria's Secret angel. She's like a commercially successful, viable model, but also like really, she got her start in high fashion. She's very tall, very lanky. But I remember like, I think she started when she was like only, you know, 14, 15 years old.
Oh.
And, but she actually had like, you know, good parents that like, you know, managed her in a way where she's, I think is probably a, like
a healthy enough,
a healthy person. Yeah, yeah. You know? But all that to say, I do remember like, cause I was working in the industry kind of when she got started as well. And that was like, she was much younger than me, but, but, in New York specifically, but like, watching her, you know, progress and her career explode and, you know, great, good ways. But also, like, I remember when she hit 18 and you saw, and I mean, because she was like such a phenomenon and the superstar and everything, like, it was like Mario Testino who took the first nude photos of her. So they're like the most beautiful thing in the world. It's like, you know, that incredible Irving Penn series that he did of Michelle Bunchen, or Gisele Bunchen, which is like, you know, the most gorgeous nude you're ever going to see in your life. So it's not like, but you just saw like, okay, so literally, you know, as soon as it was available to be done,
it's like, you jump on,
you have
train.
The best photographer in the world, take the photos, but you know, you're also just like, okay, everyone's dying to know what Karlie Kloss looked like naked. And here it is, you know? And like,
yeah, it's like the slightly like artier version of that website that existed to count down to when the Olsen twins turned 18. You were not a young teenager, but were you aware of this? This was a thing. Well, I think it was like
their age. Yeah. So, but yeah,
it was like a joke. That's funny. It was like a joke thing that somebody, it was like, you know, seemed like it was something that like collegehumor.com or something was like, but it's like somebody just made a, you know, like that, like those conceptual websites, like is the L train fucked or whatever, where it's like, it's just one thing. And so there was a website that was called something like Olsen Twins Countdown or something like that. And it was just a ticker that would go until they turned 18, which I think was like a joke sort of on the idea that everybody had grown up with them, quote unquote, and that they, you know, it was like, oh, well, that's a signify. But I mean, obviously it was just a bunch of people saying like, oh yeah, because then we can try and fuck them or something. And it was like, yeah, whatever, that's so gross. But you're describing like the industry version, and the movie that you're describing would be somewhere in between the two, probably, if we're being honest, because it would be the dark version of like, yeah, this is like, you know, I mean, Britney Spears wasn't 18 when she did Hit Me Baby One More Time. I don't, she was like,
so I think
16,
she,
right? 17?
Like 15, 16.
Yeah.
I think she's 15, 16.
Because she's like my age, I think. Or maybe a year older than me, because I was that age around the time.
Well, because I remember recently I saw, okay, so in light of the, you know, horrific Leaving Neverland documentary. But I remember growing up with Wade Robson, seeing like, because I loved the, you know, MTV. And this was like back in the day when I was like 14, freshman in high school, and like you, or, you know, eighth grade, middle school, where you'd like come home and I had a neighbor and we would call TRL together.
Oh, nice.
Like we would actually,
that's
like
so
vote.
Funny.
And it's just like, it's so archaic now.
That's
think of
so funny.
Think of that, you know, but like, but they also did a, like, I loved the Behind the Music video, which, you know, surprise, like I'm now working, you know, directing and do it like, but I just, I love the mechanics of watching
them
figure it out. And like, and then I remember seeing him and I knew his name and I knew they would do, he had a separate show on MTV about, you know, that was a choreography show and they would do, you know, like learn a bit of photography or choreography from this, you know, famous.
That's so funny.
Like,
yeah. I did not.
You Drive Me Crazy, Britney Spears video, like the core, you know, the, whatever the chorus, or Oops, I Did It Again or something. So I knew who he was because he would do all these like, you know, he had like three shows at one point, I think, on MTV or some crazy, you know, some, and he would come on TRL and he would do all these things. So like, God, I just went on a tangent, but basically they were 17 during like, I'm a Slave for You, which he and Britney both, which is insane. So yeah, I mean, that would have been a couple years ahead of, but yeah, all that to be said is like, exactly right. Like at a certain point, you know, you can, it's like you watch the progression and it goes from Baby One More Time where she's in her, you know, schoolgirl uniform, but then she's also doing her, like crop top and like basketball Adidas pants that are kind of like puffy.
Yeah.
And then you watch that go, you know, 2 years later to I'm a Slave for You, where she's literally has like a thong outside her pants.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's like clearly, you know, they're just peeling it back.
And the thing is like, I don't, you know, like we were not of age ourselves at that point to even be aware of these things. But like, you know, the Olsen twins count on clock thing is like a particularly gross in public and probably intended for humor thing, to be honest. But like, I'm sure within the music industry, the idea that Britney was going to turn 18 was probably something that was being discussed behind closed doors or on conference calls, or, you know, like I would guess that.
And
considering that she was famous being underage, and it's like, so like if you made a movie that was about a pop star who was famous underage turning 18, and it was like a big like expression of, it's like the, I mean, it's like the BoJack thing with the you know, like that. But it's like, yeah, if that was what Nasty Little Fix was, you know, and if you really wanted to add a pun element to it, she would also become a junkie.
Well, I was going to get to the junkie pitch.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Fix.
Yeah, obviously. That's the most obvious part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
You went the more creative way first, and I roped us back into the obvious one. So we can wait for that if you want to go more on this before then.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, I just can't, like, I'll tell you what was so, I have to, we'll move on from this, but having grown up being obsessed with, you know, the Britney Spears phenomenon and being a young girl and like, yes, this is so cool and fun and like loving watching those behind the video things. I went back and watched it a week ago.
Oh yeah.
Cause I can't like stop thinking about Forgetting Neverland. Like mm-hmm. And everybody, I feel like I saw my mom and my sister, you know, last week and the week before for a family wedding. And like, we talked about it at least three times, like mm-hmm. in the period of a week and a half. Like it just like, everybody's just so.
Oh, Luke and I've been talking about it.
Yeah. It's like, you just can't stop hearing or seeing certain parts of it. But I remember watching the things with Wade, and then I went back a week ago and I watched like the whole I'm a Slave for You behind mm-hmm. the video again, and he's got commentary in it
mm-hmm.
and it is really weird because like I always clocked him as this like super intense person that was just like humorless, you know, mm-hmm. like he's just mm-hmm. so
like all business kind
yeah, of thing. And yeah. he's just like, and when he talks about like the choreography and everything's just about like the business of the thing and everything, and now with the context that he's given it, you watch it and he is 17. Britney yeah. Spears is 17, and she's, you can just see that she's just like, clearly she's already been touring, she's already been living this crazy life, but she's also just like, you know, much more kind of talking and like concept where mm-hmm. she's just like, this is the scene where like the party's starting to get like fun and hot and like mm-hmm. we're having fun and we're dancing and we're a slave mm-hmm. for the music, and then like it cuts and then cuts to him and he's just like, basically you're having sex on the dance, you know, you're getting so like, he's just so intense and you're just like, oh no. He's just so ruined, you're like, yeah, you're this like, poor guy.
Yeah, he's well above his age for reasons that were not under his control.
Yeah. And so, but going back to the point of this entire podcast,
connects to the,
is mm-hmm. Pretty Little Fix would have
Nasty Little Fix.
I'm sorry. Nasty Little Fix would have the Wade Robinson character in it, whether that presents itself as a choreographer or if it's like a producerial person or something mm-hmm. like that's the sort of like cautionary tale, like whatever our pop star, that's like mm-hmm. her guy who's going to either, maybe he protects her, maybe he like tells her like, you got to get out of this business altogether. Mm-hmm, I don't mm-hmm. know what it is, but
yeah, no, I mean, I kind of like, I mean, I'm gonna avoid doing like film criticism on other movies I've seen, and there's a lot of good stuff in Vox Lux, and I kind of want to see if it's available to buy because I'd like to watch part of that again. But like, without referencing that movie, it definitely, this conversation makes me wonder if there isn't more to sort of mine from that kind of world in terms of like picking a moment like that. Like I'd never, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, like the idea of like, well, what was the energy in that sort of industry area like when Britney Spears turned 18? Like that had to be a palpable shift in the way she recognized or didn't recognize the way people perceived her, and going like, okay, is there like a psychological, you know, sort of interesting movie that could be about something like that? It doesn't literally have to be a famous pop star turns 18, but I think like thinking about the world of that and finding a psychological way in and looking at it.
Well, and you have a first act that, you know, like there's videos online of Britney doing her like Mall of America mm-hmm. you know, where she's, her hair is mousy brown and she's like, you know,
yeah,
like she put on her own makeup or whatever, you know, it's just like, everything's just sort of like, mm-hmm. she's wearing just like a cotton tank top mm-hmm. and a pair of like workout shorts or something, you know, it's like she yeah. goes up there to do this routine and she's got like a couple, two backup dancers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is that sort of Debbie Gibson, like 80s, mm-hmm. 90s, like vibe of, and then, so if that's sort of the status quo of the movie, then cut to like, okay, and now, boom, here we go. Yeah. Your next, last tour was called Bubblegum Magic.
Yeah.
Next up.
Yeah, Nasty Little Fix. Nasty like, little what does fix. This mean? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and, you know, that's, there could be like a super, almost, oh, Death to Smoochie kind of tone to it.
Well, that's, you just beat me to it, because I was going to veer it away and go like, is there any way that this is like just a comedy? Is it like, and I don't know if it's satire. I mean, obviously it kind of has to be sad. If you're going to do this as a comedy, it kind of has to be satire, but not like parody, you know, like you remember mm-hmm. like there was like that MTV show Together or whatever. That was like the fake boy band show.
Yeah. But I love that.
Oh, I loved it too. I watched the shit out of that as a kid, but like that was a very like sketch comedy kind of like goofy. What if there was a boy band?
I love my calculus. That, yeah. It means U plus B equals S.
I said, I forgot the lyrics, but
and you... one of my favorite moments was when the, it was because it was like obviously playing off the NSYNC
yes.
Backstreet Boy feud, not feud, but just, you know, and it was like girl, like they're like, one of the lines in the song was like, girl, you smell like hibiscus, and it's just like the goofiest shit, and it was all like through these like Vaseline filters.
One of the songs was like, I'm gonna rub one out,
one yeah, out, yeah, baby, yeah. Don't be shy.
I don't think I've talked about the Together show in maybe, I don't, 15 years.
Ask Annie, our non-existent unofficial third. Ask Annie. I sing Rub One Out at least three times a year. We're walking down the street mm-hmm. and it comes in my head and I just look at her and say, Rub One Out,
yeah,
baby, don't be shy.
Well, maybe we should see if that show's available and watch it. But anyway, so the point, not so not like that level of parody tone, but like something of a self-aware satirical comedy could be another direction rather than the more like dire. Cause like Vox Lux is a very, like it's the really serious one. And I wonder, like, you know, Nasty Little Fix is a funny, like if that's the title, you picture those words, like, you know, spray painted over like a black bricks or something, you know, like it's kind of like there can be a sort of, I don't know if it's not quite, Walk Hard or what's it called, the, is that what,
yeah,
it's, yeah, is that quite that either, that's more parody still, but like I don't know.
So I did think, so moving outside of the music mm-hmm. industry
mm-hmm. okay, sure,
I was just thinking like Fix, like what is Fix, and for some reason Steel Magnolias popped in my head, like the idea of like a, but the idea of like a beauty salon, like a beauty parlor mm-hmm. and so forget about the depressing, you know, dying of diabetes part. And, uh-huh. But this idea of like doing makeovers and fix, and then, so you could have the Southern version, but you could also have, a movie called Nasty Little Fix. That's, like, an escort who's like helping other girls, like, you know, navigate through the business or something, where she's like sort of, being their mentor or like doing, you know,
so another sex worker thing, like half of our ideas are,
you know, we're just, that's our, I feel, that's like, our, I feel genre.
Like if you go back there, there's a lot of sex worker ideas, like, in this,
like,
thing.
Can't, like, next meeting you go into, like, what are you writing, what are you working on, what are mm-hmm. you doing, and it's like, well, we writing like two genres, horror and sex work.
I mean, I don't, you know, no, but- I would love to write more movies about sex workers. I think interesting thing. It's not a coincidence that we talk about it.
The word fucking nasty is in there. If you put nasty in anything, mm-hmm. you can't, I mean,
yeah. So like, I mean,
but I do always think of mm-hmm. Jack Nasty and,
oh, sure. Sure.
And, wait, help me. It's
Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain, yes.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's Jack Twist, and more like Jack Nasty. Yeah. Yeah, we both thought of it, but then both blanked on the title.
could have even just like the title Nasty Little Fix could be it could be, it, you could even do, you could do, this is why I thought Steel Magnolias, is because you have these like the good Christian bitches, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, and then I put into the other extreme where it's like, no, they're sex workers. So it's like two different movies, right? But like, it's the same.
I can picture a unified one. Okay. Kind of. Because like when you said Nasty Little Fix in relation to Steel Magnolias at first, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It just so happens I've seen Steel Magnolias probably 100 times. And I was like, oh, like you can kind of picture, because it's Dolly Parton has this little like, you know, salon in her like house that all the local ladies come to do the thing. And it's like this little gossip den that they all, you know, talk and, you know, whatever. If it was a similar kind of thing, but it was like she had a hair salon called Nasty Little Fix. So that's like the funny, you know, kind of like,
I mean, that's a country song title. Like you could,
yeah,
totally, yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, so if it was a thing where it was like in this kind of like small town in Tennessee or Kentucky or North Carolina or whatever, and there is the like, you know, they're all church people nominally, but the like Dolly Parton character is the sort of like, you know, empowered, independent woman that like, you know, goes to church sometimes, but everyone kind of knows that she's kind of does her own thing. And she has this hair salon called Nasty Little Fix where like, you know, all the women in the community come there because she's the best at giving, you know, doing the hair stuff. And I was like trying to imagine a thing, and maybe I don't have like a good pitch for it, but like if you blended the sex work thing into that somehow, where like, yeah, that's the legitimate part of it, but maybe there's like an underground part of it that she's also like the madam of. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just riffing here. I mean,
this might not be a great movie that you'd want to make or write, but like, you have a girl who, yeah, I don't know if I even want to pitch this, but I
just kind of threw mine away before I did like a, yeah. So
no, but like you have a girl who, okay, let's say someone who gets out of sex work for whatever reason. It could be a number of reasons, you know, bad. I mean, this is where I'm like, ugh, I don't know if I want to tread here, but like, it's like maybe they got beat up. Maybe something happened. Maybe mm-hmm. they got threatened. Maybe something. They lost money. They don't want to have to whatever. They have to, you know. And so they move to a different area. And then so it kind of is like them trying to like reinvent themselves. But like, I just want to be careful not to like shame people or whatever. Yeah, whatever the sort of starting a new life or like doing a different thing or.
I know exactly where you're going with this. Where it's like the idea that she probably had like a fucked up kind of upbringing, got out of there, went to some sort of beauty school type of thing or whatever, like reinvented herself, moved to this town to start this hair salon. This is the legitimate thing. But then there's like girls that come in to get their hair done. And
I was even saying a girl, like you have the Dolly Parton, right? But the catalyst is like a girl shows up that's mm-hmm. just like from out of nowhere. And so she's the one who's just plopped into town.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you're at her point of view or if you're at Dolly Parton who owns the salon's point of view, but like, either way, there's this misunderstood character who's like
mm-hmm.
maybe fled something that's not great.
Okay,
on her
so I was combining the things
yeah.
where I was saying that in this case, the Dolly Parton character was the former sex worker that reinvented herself in the thing. But then she starts to recognize like some of the girls that come in to that she does their hair and makeup or nails or whatever. She starts to recognize what they're actually up to, which is kind of what she used to be up to, and she actually becomes like the kind of mentor character that takes care of them and sort of establishes like, you know, a way that she can service this community on multiple levels by, you know, empowering.
But then I think there's also the thing that's like that would make me be okay with that movie is just if like part of what she learns is that like that, because I think the problem is like It reminds me of like The Blind Side and the sort of white man,
oh, absolutely.
Like complex of just like, we're going to save this group of people that don't actually need saving necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, like,
well, I think you would portray it as, like, as though this is a bad, like this is like a bad town, and that like her influence as both just an outspoken woman that like starts her own business and like gets the other women involved in a sort of Pleasantville type of way that is like a unilateral thing, and that like the girls that she meets and mentors, like they weren't in a good situation. Like, you make it very clearly known, and it's the kind of thing where it's like she's getting to be the mentor that she wished she would have had, kind of thing. Because I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm also not saying any of this is a good idea. I'm just saying, like, based this on the pieces, good. As we're yeah. going downhill, that, like, I can see a version. Maybe it's an outdated movies. Idea. You have to, please, then save us from this potentially yeah. politically incorrect rabbit hole that we are not committing to in any way at all whatsoever, but, you know, was entertaining for the moment. So what do you got? What's the next?
So there's a girl who works, I want to say San Francisco because it feels mm-hmm. like it fits.
She work at a magazine? Best. Is she a...
No, she works at a nonprofit for pets called Pretty Little Nasty Little Fix. And they uh-huh. it's all about...
getting them like spayed and neutered?
Yep. And I mean, I think this is just like a young adult, like... maybe a rom-com or a comedy where she's like, she spends her weekend, maybe during the week she's got a shit job that she doesn't love, but during the weekend this is her nonprofit, and she like volunteers at pet shelters and shit, and like mm-hmm. I don't know what the movie is, but like maybe it's a, you know, some kind
is
of it, a
is the is her
comedy
origin
rom-
story that her mom was a contestant on The Price is Right when she was a kid, and she got to meet Bob Barker. And you know how Bob Barker would always end The Price is Right episodes by saying, have your pets spayed and neutered?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. It's been a long time since
that would be fun though.
But that was if I remember correctly, and like I'll look it up after this so that I whatever. And if I'm wrong, everyone can crucify me. But like that, I'm pretty sure that was. But he would always, have your pets spayed and neutered was like his like weird charity thing that he would mention on the show all the time. So it's like if as a girl she met him and he like said something to her about yeah. that, and then it's like she cut to her as a 27-year-old like adorable like whatever person that like this has become her passion in her off time. Is this part of this nonprofit, but she's also juggling it with like whatever her day job in San Francisco. She's a barista, or she's a a intern at a tech. I don't know what what the sort of different thing is, and it's like so the name of her nonprofit that is like a.
I mean, it could be like what's the You've Got Mail sort of like mm-hmm. she like Meg Ryan works at the mom and pop bookstore, and then Hanks works at Fox Books,
Fox's
and they're
books,
gonna.
Yeah.
Fox Books is going to buy the thing and like put him out of business. It could be a version of that where it's like she's like started this nonprofit. She works at night and on the weekends to like mm-hmm. get it going and do what, she's a one man band doing the paperwork, mm-hmm. filing the thing, getting that, the signs printed. Like she's, and then this guy is like just rolls into town. He's like he just got past the bar exam. He's like 26 years mm-hmm. old and he just joined this lobby or something. Mm-hmm. So now he's just like in debt, sort of. So there's like some commonality between them as far yeah. as just like being young adults trying to establish
but
themselves.
But they meet at odds for some
exactly.
And
so he's like, yeah. Yeah, well, I took this job like working for this lobby that does, for Purina to like, we need more pets because they eat mm-hmm. dog food and then we sell dog food and that's like what we do. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. shut down anything that,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's like the most goofy thing, but like it's
no,
you
it's,
know.
No, it's no, it's cute. It's no, I think that's actually a pretty good extrapolation of that where like you come up with some, yeah, weird way that he's servicing a lobby that doesn't like the idea of pets being fixed in some sort of abstract capitalistic way.
Yeah.
She has is pure ideals. He at first seems like a soulless like suit that just wants to shut her down. But then like, so they hate each other, but then they get to talk and she finds that he actually does have things he cares about and he's just desperate for approval and like success. And this is the way he found in. And then somehow they team up together where their interests lie and they're, yeah. Then yeah.
Nasty little fix.
It's like Must Love Dogs. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Or The Truth About Cats and Dogs. Pet-based rom-com.
The Truth About Cats and Dogs is so good.
I saw that movie in the theater twice, I think. That's Jeanine Garofalo and Uma yeah. Thurman, and I don't know who the guy was. I want to say it was Paul Rudd. Is it Paul Rudd?
No, it's not, no. But he's like Paul Rudd adjacent.
Yeah, it's like pre-Paul Rudd, Paul yeah. Rudd.
He's so good. So good.
Truth About Cats and Dogs.
Crap, what was my other? I said I had two pitches.
You said you had two. Yeah, you didn't tell me, so I don't know.
Ah,
I mean, was it a fix? Was it another? Was it a drug one?
No, because we did the drug.
Ben Chaplin was the guy.
Such a cutie.
Yeah, I wonder what's Jamie Foxx is in that movie too, which is weird. I didn't know that. All right. Oh, Audrey Wells wrote that. Oh my God, I know. I met her and she just passed away, actually. She was one of the mentors at Sundance. R.I.P. Audrey Wells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was, sorry, that was a somber note to land on. Yeah.
I wish I could remember my lovely other person, nasty talented writer. Little fix pitch. Crap, I don't remember. But there was another one. But something, fix is the operative word there, and I'm not quite sure what my other one was, but...
Not, yeah, fixing dogs, getting a fixes and drugs, fixing your hair and makeup kind of thing, fix, there's no good fix gear bike ideas, there's no, I mean, something about a mechanic or a contractor or something, an all-female home repair team. Like the topless maids that you always see those vans in Burbank, but yeah, it's like not that.
It's so weird.
You know what I'm talking about? Whenever you're driving on Barham, they're always parked on Barham.
They're always parked on Barham. I was about to say,
it's that and it must just be like,
and like right where it turns from Barham to Olive.
Yeah,
too.
No, yeah, it's always there. And like I've looked it up, and it, apparently it literally just is. It's just like a private. It's just like it's a stripper that comes to your house that dressed like a maid, and they sort of dance. I googled it and found like some Thrillist article where somebody actually was like, look, I'm gonna hire this and I'll tell you what happens, because everybody wonders. And it's literally just like a stripper that comes into your house and acts like they're cleaning up, and it's like a lap dance situation, and like, but they said it's like fun and like, you know, it's couples welcome kind of thing. It's not really meant to be like sexual, it's more just like an entertainment thing. I don't know if that means there's like a weird dude that comes and sits in the room while it's all happening or not, but like, yeah, apparently that's, I don't know why it's always parked on Barham. Either somebody who runs the company, just that's where their car parks. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's a pink van.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Like for the 10 years I've lived in LA, every time I'm on Barham, I see that. Usually coming back from Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know exactly.
I feel like, so if anyone is listening, lives in LA and has any reason to go to Warner Brothers, you probably know what we're talking about. So Nasty Little Fix would be not the, you know, fix it, you know, home repair version of that, because it's not, it would be more legitimate. But it's like, oh, if like a bunch of like cute girls, if that was like they played up the sort of like, we're cute girls that come and fix things, and that's what we call our, I don't know, that's stupid, but that was that. While we're rattling off possibles,
I have a movie that could have been called Nasty Little Fix.
Please, for the love of God, save me.
Michael Clayton.
Sure. I mean, this is such a different title for that, but I'm down.
And also, Cohen's career, it turns out, Nasty Little Fix.
Wait, which one?
Michael Cohen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, well, that's actually, that's the name of the Michael Cohen movie is Nasty Little Fix. Yep. That's
and
fucking
that's
funny.
Where we should end Nasty Little Fix.
Yeah, the I, Tonya version of the Michael Cohen story, Nasty Little Fix. You can picture, because I already would.
Like, oh, because you have Stormy on there, and yeah.
I mean, you kind of want the Michael Cohen movie to be a mimic of the Michael Clayton poster.
Yeah.
Where it's like Clooney's face, but it's like, you want Michael Cohen's like slack jawed, like, you know, dumb guy thing with the thing it is.
And it's Stormy Daniels, so it's like already, all, you know, it's like a more, like, less like highbrow.
I do kind of want that to be a thing now.
Yeah.
The Michael Cohen movie, Nasty Little Fix.
That's it. Thanks, Colin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Colin.
Wait, how long was that?
I hope you enjoyed that. That was 33 minutes. So
okay.
If you have another topic or you want to do another, do you want to try another one of these? Or do you want to just talk about something else?
No, let's, what? Oh.
Scratch off.
Okay.
So scratch off is one, I mean, I don't remember where it came from, but you know, you can imagine lottery tickets probably. I don't, somehow the phrase scratch off came in and you and I said like, oh, that could be a thing. And you at the time said you had something.
Yeah.
And then, but it's been like a month or more.
So there's definitely a lottery movie there.
Yeah.
That could be anything.
Which, I mean, like my gut is to say it's a Punch Drunk Love type thing where some person thinks they have figured out a mathematical probability conceptual way to game the scratch off lottery ticket thing. Cause like we've all done it. Like you just, you know, you're at a gas station and somebody, the person in front of you buys one. Oh, sure. I should do $1. I'll get the, and then you win $3 and you take it back. You do whatever. Like, you know, it's like, it's a normal thing that people do just sort of as entertainment or whatever. Like most people aren't thinking this is like their big break, but like in Punch Drunk Love, how he sees like, oh, you get, you know, X amount of frequent flyer miles for $1 you spend. And then he just notices a potential flaw in the system that would allow him to multiply that. If somebody in a sort of, you know, Goodwill Hunting-y, you know, like some savant person realized that like the probability of winning, like, oh, like I buy 10 tickets and then I win on the third, you know, so like, you know, some, every fifth ticket has a greater chance of, and it's randomized, but you counter for this thing and blah, blah, blah. And then they do some crazy thing where they, you know, drive around their whole state buying specific tickets at specific quantities in order to win a bunch of, I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of movie that would need to be based on like a true story probably.
Yeah.
For it to be real. So it's like, if somebody actually did that, which is, you know, okay, somebody go do that, then we'll write a movie about you. But like, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of, unless that was just the inciting incident that was about somebody winning a bunch of money and then other crazy shit happens to them. I don't know. But that's the first thing I thought of.
So already mentioned once on this podcast, second mention, Annie Brandt. I don't even think she knows how much we don't.
Yeah, she doesn't
her.
Listen, does she?
She does.
Does she?
She does, but that's cool. Hi, Annie. I don't, hey Annie. But we always talk about how like massages feel great. Rubs, mm-hmm. We love rubs. But for some reason scratches are like the best.
Oh, sure.
Sensation ever.
Sure.
But then like my sister never liked being scratched. Like I always liked my back scratched ever since mm-hmm. I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, it just like doesn't, even as a baby, it's like tense up.
Sure, sure.
But
well,
you know,
I'm terrified
if you
of
love,
all touch entirely, so all of those things terrify
yeah,
me.
Yeah, don't look at Ben. Don't even
yeah,
look at him.
Yeah, eye contact, physical touch of any kind, it's a problem. That's not
but,
true.
But there's something about like a rub and tug parlor that's a scratch parlor called oh, Scratch Off.
Wait, so it's
so like,
it's just a CD basement massage parlor where you're paying just to get like intense back scratches.
Except that it scratches and not okay. Here's the Coen Brothers movie.
Uh huh.
Instead, everyone goes. It becomes like a, it spreads like wildfire. Like you have to go to this place, and I mean, I don't know if I don't think the place is called Scratch Off, or maybe it's called Scratch Off because they sell Scratch Off lottery tickets. But really,
oh sure, it's
downstairs.
Like you got to ask for the right ticket, that the coded
yeah,
response
thing,
and then he
and
lets
then everyone's
you in the back,
just like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like weird, you know, like it's like the weird, you know, Chinese massage or the weird mm-hmm, thing or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And so people don't. They're kind of like, oh yeah, there's just like a massage parlor below, and you know, and then of course people are just like, yeah, of course, like, you know, it's the rub and tug, like
yeah.
whatever. It's like, no, it's not that. It's not that at all.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay, and you're like, the I mean, it's like the goofy, and then of course you have all these character parts in between, and it's like
mm-hmm.
whatever. Maybe some guy's wife is leaving him, and that's sort of like the thrust of the movie mm-hmm. in terms of like what's happening to our protagonist or whoever. But like, however, it gets you there. But like, the backdrop is this like. Scratch
yeah.
parlor where like you don't get massaged, you get scratched.
Well, it's just
and it's a secret, but then it spreads like wildfire, and then you have like, you know, the head of like Paramount comes over and he's like, they tell me I have to come, you know. It's uh-huh, like you uh-huh. I don't know, it could just be this funny sort of thing where it's just like, I hear you guys do something that nowhere else does, like I go to, you know, Four Seasons. I go to this. I go to uh-huh, like all uh-huh. all the different spas.
I've
in
been
town.
To Thailand.
Yeah, I've done the whole thing. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like, it's because I was picturing it like a small town again, because I already referenced Pleasantville. So I think my brain's just there where it's like the kind of thing that like, yeah, if there was that in a small town where everybody was conservative and trying to hide stuff from each other, it's like the first time the like, you know, the overworked, stressed out, like, you know, future heart attack case, like the sheriff in the town, you know, the John Goodman, basically, like. Someone kind of clues him into this, like almost like as though there's something illegal going on. So he goes in to like check it out under the auspices of like being the law enforcement person. And then they're like, no, we're not doing anything illegal. This isn't a, you know, we're not jacking people off here or whatever. Like, just give it a try. And they like, this is a guy that like, you know, maybe him and his wife aren't on good terms. And like, so he's suffering, you know, lack of physical contact. And he gets like this like really great like back scratch. And it's just like so stress relieving, and it's so incredible. And he kind of can't see how this could be illegal, so he just sort of lets it be. But he's not going to tell anybody about it because it's
well, I love
it's
the
like
idea
sex work adjacent.
So,
in
no,
a weird
I love
way.
That. I love
and
the
he
idea.
He doesn't want his wife. It's just weird.
Here's
it's just
the thing: is I love that. Yeah, I love the idea of the scratching being like, and maybe this place, maybe Scratch Off, it doesn't actually like actually does. It's not an actual rub and tug or a scratch mm-hmm. and tug. It's
yeah.
It's like.
Scratch and tug is really literally funny, by the way.
It's literally just like a back scratch.
But then
people are just like, you did
just
something
no
else.
No one wants to admit that they did that because they know it's going to sound weird. Yeah. And everyone's going to assume that it's more than that.
Yeah.
So it's like, it starts with like the sheriff or something. God, my cat's being really cute right now. Sorry, Kate just gestured to him. But yeah, so it's just like a bunch of people embarrassed to admit that that's what they go to pay money for.
Yeah.
Is just getting like scratching their back and the back of their legs and like their head and stuff. And it's like,
but also there's like, so then the next level version of the movie is that like scratching unlocks something that's like,
oh, sure.
Almost like
that's the Pleasantville thing where it's like, there's like a serenity that they find through that to where it's like they want
now
everyone
you're
to know,
part
but
of,
they're scared to tell everybody because it's weird. I mean, it's Pleasantville, but with back scratching instead of, because Pleasantville is basically just like they have sex and then they see color, and this it's like they get their back scratched and they see color. Like it's like the non-sexual, affectionate, physical skin hunger version of like, you know.
So it's also kind of Matrixy in that way of just like there's another world around us that like you just, do you want it or not?
Getting your back scratched opens you up to like another dimension of perception and like.
But it is kind of funny. I mean, just the. Like something that I love that I love the idea of things that are like so commonplace, but perceived to be like freakish, you know, like it's just like, oh, you get, you know, like, yeah, like you would lie to your wife about going to get a back scratch because you don't want to tell her that. But you're just like, I'd rather tell her that I just was like, I took like, you know, some hot girl out to dinner. Like I'd rather just like make it way worse or like, you know.
Yeah, it's that in between the vagary that is going to be it raises more questions than it does answers in a weird way, and nobody wants to admit that. So it's kind of a movie about a bunch of people needing a certain kind of like affectionate physical attention that they can't admit to each other, and you know, which would make sense in a sort of like conservative small town kind of setting where everybody's afraid of what everyone else thinks of them and stuff like that. I mean, this is a funny movie that I don't think quite has enough plot to actually, like, we're missing like a sort of second act type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's also like kind of, you can put it together, I think, to some degree. The movie about the secret underground backstory.
Scratch off.
Scratch off. Is there any, what else? Is there anything else for scratch off? I feel like there was something else. Is there like a cat thing to it? Cat scratch.
Sure.
Stuff?
You could have, I mean, you could have a variety show called Scratch Off. Well, we have like people love cats, right? We
know
that because of the internet. Mm-hmm. And so you could
shout
have like,
Pet Cemetery.
You could have, like lady cat dancers that like are sort of transition pieces between your different segments. And you have the like knitting a sweater for your cat segment. Mm-hmm. You have the like cat performance segment where all your cats come
out.
You
train
and, like,
circus cats that stand up and walk and do things like that.
Things
yeah,
and like,
scratch off.
Yeah, and then adult women dressed as cats in between, like doing cat dance moves and stuff.
It makes me think of like a Comedy Central show in the era of like the Man Show or something.
Yeah,
like, yeah, where it's just sort of like a throwbacky variety show thing, but with this sort of like postmodern sexualized, like, you know, that's funny. Scratch off. What else is scratching? Scratch.
Oh, like a DJ with a.
Oh yeah, record. It's like 8 Mile, but about turntablism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's the Q-Bert biopic. Scratch off. Do you know who DJ Q-Bert is? He's like a big turntable. He's like a winner of the international. What I don't forget what the thing was, but he was like the best DJ in the world for a while at doing scratching stuff.
So yeah, you have like.
Or A-Track was another one. You could have it be the, it's like 8 Mile about the young upstart scratching guy that goes up against like the old, you know, master.
Yeah. That's like a contemporary movie. And then, I mean, you could also do a version of like the culture as it was emerging. Like there's a couple different.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, I'd actually be surprised if that's not the name of a documentary about turntablism, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to look it up, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a movie called Scratch Off that was about that. Good call.
Someone who has terrible psoriasis.
Oh.
Or eczema.
A horror movie about skin, about the skin conditions that makes you scratch your own skin off, and it's contagious. It's like a zombie movie, but everybody gets this horrific skin thing, and they scratch their own skin off, and then they go insane. Yeah. I mean, that actually, I mean, that's, that would be pretty fucking horrific to watch if like if it was a disease that you caught that the progression of it was scratching and then scratching to the point of like literally bleeding and scratching your skin off and then going insane from so much pain that you like went out and attacked people like a zombie. And so if it was like, it's like a zombie movie with an extra body horror step to it, that's like, yeah, they're not just zombies, they're also, you know, fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah, so like they're participatory in their transformation,
mm-hmm.
in a way that like feels like they might be able to stop it, but they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Scratch off.
Yeah.
I, little anecdote, this is kind of related, but it was just a funny thing. Like about a year ago, I know you know this because I've mentioned it before, but like I started getting like weird hives. And they're in these like weird, sometimes they're in
like lines kind of.
Lines, yeah.
Little red marks. They look like red marks on your skin. Yeah.
And sometimes it's like it'll be like just like one, two, you know, in a row, just like long sort of marks. But then other times it'll be in like a, almost not
like a
pentagram, it's never a
kind of.
Yeah, it's like a pentagram now. But it's never like a discernible pattern, but they'll overlap or they'll like, mm-hmm. you know, dissect each other.
Intersect, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember being, and I think it's like, I actually like, my doctor's like, oh, it's like it's basically like your skin's sensitive. It could be something that you're eating. It could be like hormonal
fabric
changes.
You're wearing or something.
Yeah. Like. Or even just like environmental things that, you know, cause you to react,
mm-hmm.
In the moment. But, so it's like a pretty benign thing, and it's just that like it's itchy for a second, and like I'll look down, and sometimes it'll be like, holy crap, you know, like half my thigh is like covered in this kind of red raised pattern. So I was at a restaurant, and like I ordered, like the waiter came over, got our food, and I was wearing shorts. It was like a year, like last mm-hmm. summer. And then when he came back to bring our food, he was just like, he like looked down and he was like startled at this like mm-hmm. thing on my leg. And I was like, God, it like really itches. And he's like, you know, you really shouldn't scratch your skin like that. and he was totally earnest. Like he was,
yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's hives. And he goes, no, I mean, like you can really like damage your skin if you're like scratching. And I was like, I didn't just do this to my leg.
He thought
I was like
self-harming.
He thought
yeah.
I was, yeah. He thought I was literally doing the zombie movie you just described. Yeah. And I was like, dude. And then it got to a point where I was like, don't tell me who I am. Like, stop telling me how to live my life. I didn't.
What if I cut
myself?
I was like,
you're 16 and you're working at a burger place. Like,
it's like my girlfriend cuts herself and like I tell her all the time and like, you know.
So scratch off.
So he wanted you to not become a skinless zombie.
Yeah.
From a skin disease. So.
Yeah.
Well, scratch off. I think we did it.
I think that's all the scratch. I mean, all the scratches I have.
Yeah. And we're right at 48 minutes. So.
Boom.
Yeah. We thought we were unprepared, but that two ideas filled the time. So. You know, thanks to Colin for his suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. Colin.
Thanks to everyone else who's listening. If you have suggestions, you can send us on Twitter at Cahoots Podcast or, you know, Ben Collins or Kate Devaney, either one. You can email us at cahootspodcast@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs.
Yeah, please do.
On Cahoots Podcast
Instagram. Yeah, we both have access to that. So.
And I'm on there all the time, just constantly reading those.
Yeah.
DMs.
So please, you know,
tag us.
Give us ideas, give us feedback, whatever. Listen to my other podcast with Luke called Sync Ratios, findable on all those
hell yeah.
things. And
stay tuned. Ben's got a movie going into production, so
that's your more updates about that soon, and more guests for this particular podcast coming up.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully soon. I don't want to say it because in case it doesn't happen, but
yeah.
We're hopefully recording.
We've had two really awesome people. Well, we have one lined up. We'll see, you know, people's schedule change all the time, but we have a couple of really awesome writers
mm-hmm.
who we've had to postpone, but we're going to catch back up with them. So yes.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Some exciting stuff. See you next time, guys.
Toodles.
Bye.